Calcio Land Podcast with David Amoyal.
Benvenuti, as we would say in Italy. Welcome to all of you that don't speak Italian. Thank you so much for joining us for the Friday episode of the Calcio Land Podcast. And the emphasis is on this Friday because the season kicks off tomorrow. So this means this is one of our favorite episodes of the year, the one where Alex and I do our over-unders for the strikers on the main teams. We have Thousand Names back. Not only do we have his predictions, we actually have him on the show. I recorded with him yesterday, and you'll hear at the end of the podcast part of my huge season preview with Napoli Outsider that we did on Patreon on Tuesday. So you'll hear Napoli Outsider more on the mid and lower tables, since Alex and I will kind of cover the top. So I'm very excited, Alex, to do this. I picked our usual strikers on the top teams. I went in order with the standings of what we did last year. So we're going to start with Inter. And obviously Lukaku isn't there because Lukaku is on your team wearing number 9 now. So the main striker is Lautaro Martinez right now. So Alex, last season Lautaro had 17 goals. He played in every match. He was some not as a starter, but he appeared in every match, scored 17 last season. Lukaku's gone. Lukaku was the main goal scorer. So I'm going to raise that a little bit for Lautaro to 18.5. For those not familiar with over-under, it means to go over, he has to score 19 because we do the half points. So Lautaro at 18.5, Alex. What do you have, over or under?
This is a really good one because I think naturally people would be like, oh, Lukaku's gone, so obviously Lautaro's number will jump. But that's really, I think, in my opinion, lazy analysis. I don't think that actually means it'll happen. It definitely could happen because there's going to need to be more dependency on Lautaro to score, simple as, no matter who else is in the fray. But you can also argue that having Lukaku there helped Lautaro score 17 last season. So you can't just say, oh, no Lukaku, so more goals for Lautaro. Lukaku obviously expanded his game so much in the last couple seasons where he created for others. And even just him being out there was at least a decoy for others. Yeah. So you set a great number here, David, because I want to go with a little bit more than he had last season. And you putting it at 18.5. Still, scoring 19 goals is no small feat. So, oh, man. I actually kind of want to go. Well, I don't want to because I actually like Lautaro. So saying want to would be the wrong way to phrase it. But I actually am going to go with under 18.5. But when I go under, I'm predicting 17 or 18. I think my main reason is just like pretty simple. I'm not sure he's a 20-goal-a-season in-league striker yet. I think he's a really good young player. But, yeah, I want to go under just by a sliver, though, David, because I guess I'll look at it like, okay, no Lukaku. Yeah, his goals could go up, but at the same time, perhaps there's going to be more attention towards him. So, yeah, I'm going to go under.
Okay, good. I like your thought process. And I think it is fair. I think the style of Lautaro, because there's a couple of things. I wouldn't say he's the most clinical finisher. I love him as a player, but I wouldn't say, you know, he's like a killer in the box. He does, especially under Conte, did a lot of defensive work. I'm not sure. I think it's going to really depend how Inter lines up. They're trying to bring in another striker. So I hear your concern. I'm going to go over, but not by a lot. I like what you said, that you're not sure if he's a 20-goal scorer. But I'm going to say I think he's a 19-goal scorer. So I'm going to go with that. Okay, one more for Inter, because for a couple of teams, we're going to do two. So Zeko is there. Zeko's been linked to Inter forever. They are going to bring in another striker, and we'll get into it on the transfer topics after we do the over-unders. But look, Zeko, different player than Lukaku. But, you know, if Inzaghi wants to absolutely keep the same formation that Inter had last season, we're going to see a lot of Zeko. So last season, Zeko had 7. I'm going to set the over-under at 8.5 for him. You know, there is question marks on how much he's going to play between age and other options. So what are you, you think he gets to 9 or no?
I do. I actually do. Like last season, I know, as you said, 7 goals. He did miss a little bit of time, only had 20 starts, 27 total appearances. But then in years past, he's been good to get at least to the 9 figure, 16, 9, 16, 29. I know he's getting up there in age, but I think, and I have to assume all these guys are fit for the most part, or else you're just absolutely porking yourself doing over-unders if you're going to try and take injury histories into account, unless it's like someone who's always injured. So I'm going to assume that for the most part, he's healthy, and the only thing that keeps him out of games is just his age and maybe different setups. So I think he'll be important enough to Inter where they're going to need to lean on him for about 9 or 10 goals. So I'll go with just over. I'm always very complimentary of the numbers you set. And with 2 players in, I am definitely echoing that praise. Good numbers so far because it's really messing with me. But I'll go literally Dzeko gets 9 or 10. So a slight over.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be more than 10, but yeah, I agree there. Couple of thoughts on Inter real fast before we move on. Interestingly, today, Zanetti, obviously their legend, who's one of their main directors, said, listen, I don't want to lie to Inter fans. He said it's going to be a challenging season, but he says, I think we're going to be competitive, and Inzaghi has worked well. Now, I think part of the reason why he said it, especially in those words, is maybe after the whole Lukaku love fest for Inter and then they leave. I kind of like that Zanetti leaned into like the brutal honesty. Maybe it's not what some fans want to hear going into the season, but that is exactly how I feel about Inter. And I've seen a lot of people, I've seen you out there like say, maybe Inter's not that bad, you know, once Dumfries and now they're linked to other strikers. Just remember, I was pretty consistent. Even on the day Lukaku left, I was like, do not underestimate Inter. I think they're going to do quite well this season. You know, I say that mainly for the defense because they gave up the least amount of goals last season. They bring back the same unit. Çalhanoğlu replaces the Gagliardini-Eriksen combo, especially compared to Eriksen. He does more defensive work, and Inzaghi is a good defensive manager. So I'm going to say I really like their defense. I'm glad we went over both their strikers because I would also point out that Juve under Conte won some Scudetti with strikers that were very comparable to this, maybe even slightly worse. I mean, they won with Matri, Vucinic, Quagliarella, even Fernando Llorente. To me, it wasn't until Tevez came on board that Juve clearly had better strikers than what Inter has this season. So I'm bullish on Inter. I'm not going to say they're definitely going to challenge for the Scudetto, but I'll be shocked if they don't finish top 4. So let's move on to Milan. They finished 2nd last season. I asked you about Giroud again, so we're going to just confirm it, but I'm going to throw Ibra in the mix again. So let's start with Ibra. So last season had 15 goals. I think he only appeared in like 18 matches, so like unbelievable average. He's already injured. He's going to miss a few games. I'm going to set the over-under for Ibra, 12.5. Are you taking the over or the under?
You know, I'm taking the over, and I'm not, like, super confident on it just because the age is really up there. But I've already said many times on this very pod that the more I state that, the probably more he'll prove everybody wrong. But also, starting the year injured is never a good way to start it, even if you're going to be back soon. So knowing that obviously he missed time last season because of injury, if that happens again, that can hit away at the potential total. But this is exactly the situation where I feel like Zlatan shouldn't be doubted. So you've set it at 12.5, which obviously isn't insanely steep, but it makes it difficult because of the context I just gave. But I almost feel him not starting the season with Milan, like right away from the jump, that's going to make him even roared up and geared up to just come guns a-blazing when he is back on the pitch. Because you know Zlatan, the second someone's not talking about him, the second someone, even a Milan fan, is writing 11s with maybe him not in it, even if that's just because of injury, is the second that he comes roaring like a lion. He'll be the first person to tell you that. So Yeah, I mean, I don't think he hits 20 goals this season. I think for many reasons, he's still not going to be a guy that's starting 25, 30 games. But I think he plays and starts enough where he does crack the 12.5. Once again, a very good number set by you. But I wouldn't be surprised if he almost replicated last season's number of 15. Like you said, he got 15 and not a whole lot of time. So his per 90 was probably really, really good. But maybe he kind of does something similar. Yeah, so I'm going to go over. And really, once again, my analysis is all down to you don't doubt Zlatan.
I hear you. I'm very bullish on Giroud, and we'll get them in a second. I had asked you before, and we'll just see if you have changed your mind. Because you seem pretty bullish on Ibra. And look, I think Ibra, when he plays, is going to score a lot. I think... Pioli has also hinted that he is going to play at times 4-4-2. I think especially in matches where Milan needs a late goal, we are going to see Giroud and Ibra together, and they're going to try to flick as many crosses into the box as possible. I think that's going to be really, really effective with those two. But I'm going to go under, but that's more because I'm very, very high on Giroud this season. I'm going to say I think Ibra comes close to matching the average of goals. Keeping Milan's also going to be in the Champions League. I wonder, you know, how they're going to alternate Giroud, Ibra there. So I'm going to go under, but not by a lot. So I'm going to, on Giroud, I have him at 13.5. I'd ask you this. I want to see if you change your mind. I'm definitely going over here. I know Giroud isn't, you know, like someone who's going to known as a huge volume goal scorer. But I think in Serie A, I think he'll adapt really, really well. I'm going to do the over-under for him at 13.5. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets to like 17, 18 range and Ibra's like 10, 11. I think Milan, I look at it more as you need from these two at least 25 and you need to get close to 30. I think if you get over 30 from these two, you'd be absolutely thrilled. So you're pretty bullish on Ibra. Does that change your mind on Giroud 13.5? Where do you see that one?
Oh, this one's so tough. So tough because first of all, he has started these early days at Milan quite well. Like he looks like he's already acclimated. That's just classic Giroud though. You put him on a pitch and he's adapted. That's where he feels at home. So yeah, I guess I shouldn't be surprised that he already looks to be somewhat comfortable playing for Milan and already scoring in the early days. So it messes with me a little bit, although I should have known that even before he put on the Milan colors, that he would just, no matter what, be a goal threat when he's out there for any team. 13.5, it's such a good number. And him having 8 last season, it just doesn't mean anything to me because I know, obviously, what a weird season it was for Giroud playing time-wise. Really, the last 2 seasons for Chelsea have been bizarre playing time-wise. He gets them in bunches, but not consistently. But in bunches, he can score a lot of goals. So, man, so I said Zlatan would go slightly over. I capped Zlatan off at maybe 15 tops. Even if Giroud got over 13.5, he could have 14. They could still go below that 30-goal total that you're saying, which obviously, ideally, they'd want to go above that. That would be great for Milan. Woo, I'm thinking out loud here. I really think he's going to get 12 or 13. But you know what? To ride or die with a little Chelsea heritage here, let's say that Giroud also cracks that, and just barely. But here is kind of a developing take. So I am going to give you the over, and I'll give it right back to you here to continue on with all this. But I'm going to go a skosh over. You said it at 13.5. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if he gets 14 or 15. Like I said, with Zlatan, I think he'll get either 13, 14, or 15. And I guess my overall take is that means Milan's probably having another pretty good season, if we're being honest. If those guys can get anywhere close to 30 combined in league, that's probably a pretty good sign. As listeners should know, that'll be my team I ride or die with this Serie A season. Majorly, that's down to Fikayo Tomori. But Fikayo Tomori and other players are actually why I'm still kind of hopeful for Milan. I understand the goalkeeper they lost. But yeah, I feel like even just answering these questions, it means I have still some optimism for Milan this season. So yeah, I'll go slightly over for Giroud as well.
Okay, good one. All right, let's move on to Atalanta. They finished third last season. So let's go with Muriel for them. I love Muriel, but I have forgotten that he had scored 22 goals last season and quite a few as a sub. Man, what a season. And I say it, I am amazed that no team has tried to sign Muriel this summer. I just don't get it. I think he's just fantastic. So Duvan Zapata, it looks like he's staying. We'll get into the hot transfer topics because there's a little color there. But Atalanta are determined to hold on to Zapata, and good for them. So I'm going to set the over-under for Muriel at 20.5, which feels like a monster number. But yet again, he had 22. Last season. So how do you feel about Muriel? And again, right now it looks like Zapata will be there. So we'll get more of this 1-2 punch where Zapata tires out the defense. And then the last 35 minutes of the game, Muriel comes in. You think that formula is going to go on? Maybe Muriel plays a little bit. Do you think he gets the 21 goals?
I mean, I totally agree with almost the surprise factor of we're setting this number at 20.5. But last two seasons, I mean, he had 22 and 7 assists last season, Muriel, and then the season before he had 18 goals. So even that averages out to about 20, and he's obviously in his prime years. I think he's 29 still right now, so you wouldn't think, no, he's turned 30, but still, that's perfectly within range to be playing your best football as a striker, especially. And it's Atalanta. And like you said, he doesn't honestly even need to start these games to score goals. And that's special about the Zapata dynamic, but also just Atalanta being such a ferocious attacking team. And I don't see that changing. Ah, it's a really good one. I think he'll get high teens. High teens. And probably my main reason is down to I just don't feel comfortable saying that Muriel will be a 20 goal a season striker again, but it's probably harsh even saying that because it almost sounds like then I wouldn't be paying enough attention to him. But like I said, I acknowledge the last two seasons he's gone over and just missed two seasons ago, and he's in the right setup for it, but I still have to just kind of go with my gut, and I'm going to assume that Muriel comes back down to earth a little bit and gets more in the high teens. If he had two seasons in a row of 20 plus league goals, I think that would just automatically render him the most underrated player in Europe, David. So I'll go with...
Without a doubt.
Yeah, because like I don't think your average Premier League fan knows that. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying that's why I'm choosing the under, but I am going to kind of go off of the overall general status quo, not last season status quo, and say that it goes just a bit under. But that's a very good one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I love Muriel, people. I've been a fan for a very, very long time. I love Atalanta. I'm not going to lie. They are the team I hope wins the Scudetto this season. So, look, I am happy that it looks like Zapata is staying. So, because Zapata is staying and it looks like, you know, his agents are putting some pressure on Atalanta, I think if he stays, they're going to try to keep him happy, although Gasperini doesn't really seem to care about sort of stuff. So I'm going to go under. I'm with you. I think he's going to have a great season regardless. But I'm going to go with this caveat that if Duvan Zapata is somewhat sold before the window closes and Atalanta brings in another striker, Muriel then to me becomes my almost lock to lead Serie A in goals. I'm going to go with that caveat. So let's move on to Juve. Oh, by the way, just a couple of thoughts on Atalanta. Anyone who's been listening to Napoli Outsider and I talk about Atalanta for a long time, we've constantly talked, geez, why are they not signing an extra defensive midfielder? It's so glaring. It's so obvious. Anyone that's used Atalanta in career mode can relate. But it looks like they're bringing in Forsby from Sampdoria. Not a sexy signing, but an incredibly functional signing. I think he's exactly what they need, an alternative to Freuler. And Duran, if they keep the squad as is, I really, really like Atalanta this season to really, really challenge. So let's see. But if Zapata does go, I think Muriel not only goes over this, he like blows right through it. So let's move on to Juve. Very, very interesting. We've been talking a lot about Ronaldo. Anyone missed last Friday, Alex and I had a really good discussion on Messi to PSG and Ronaldo still being stuck at Juve. You know, there's, you know, his body language hasn't been great at Juve. Look, you know, anything can happen in the transfer window, but I think Juve and Ronaldo are stuck with each other. I was telling a friend of mine yesterday that I think for Juve, it's maybe not the greatest thing that Ronaldo is staying, but for Serie A's sake, thank God he's staying, because after all the departure that there was, if he leaves too, it becomes really pretty brutal. So I think for Serie A's sake, it's great that he stayed. So that was a long way to get to my over-under on him. So last season had 29. We know Ronaldo scores a ton of goals. I'm going to go a little bit lower. Allegri did say that he's going to rotate, and I'm sure Ronaldo's going to be playing every Champions League game, so probably missing some of the games before or after. So I'm going to have a slight decline. I'm going to go to 26.5. Last season had 29. You going with over or under for Ronaldo?
It's so tough. Because at this point, that seems steep. It seems steep. But then again, why? Why? I look at his history, and it's just a ridiculous fake page of stats. And obviously, some of the numbers I'm looking at are from his meaty, meaty Real Madrid days. But his whole career has been meaty. Just because he's not getting 48 league, that's absurd. I'm just quickly taking a look at his statistical in-league page from his career. So just in-league, this is not answering your question, but scoring 48 goals in league and then 46 goals in league, and also slapping on 16 assists with 48 goals in league, that's fake. That is absolutely fake. But anyway, I digress. So more normal stats at Juve. He's still gotten 21-8, 31-5, and then last season 29-2. Oh, man, 26.5. Well, the dependency on him will still be super high if Juve is to achieve what they want to achieve. And Allegri, Ronaldo, I do see it working when the season fully takes flight. I do. So, God, I still think I almost have to use the reverse logic I used against Muriel in favor for Ronaldo, your status quo line. Until I see Ronaldo dip below that, and I guess you could say in his first season for Juve he did with 21-8, but for the most part he just doesn't, then I'm not going to bet that he will dip below that. So, I don't think he hits 30, but I guess he goes high 20s again. I mean, this is a guy that has shown us that he stays fit. So you can't even have that in the very back of your mind, even though I already said I'm not even going to think about injuries at all for these over-unders. Maybe it's the 50th factor in the back of my mind, but for Ronaldo, it's not even in play. If he's not playing, it's probably more just down to age and management, load management, as they say in the NBA. So, yeah, I guess I go a skosh over. I don't feel comfortable about it. I almost feel like I'm being Max Kellerman right now on Tom Brady, where it's well, sooner or later, he's just going to fall off a cliff. I don't think that for Ronaldo, but I don't know. Maybe for the reasons you just said, this all feels less than enthusiastic with Ronaldo's situation right now. Not to say it's toxic, but perhaps it doesn't feel like exactly what he wants. With that said, he wants to score goals and win and be relevant and be one of the best every single time he's out there. So, yeah, I'll go over. I don't feel comfortable about it, but I'll go over and say 27 or 28.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I was kind of tempted to go under, but then I keep telling myself he's also playing for his next contract. True. And look, I'm sure the Messi thing has to burn bigly. So I think he's going to be very motivated. I think he'll take out his frustrations on all on the opposition. So I'm going to say he goes over. But you know what's interesting, and a few people have pointed this out, that while Ronaldo has scored a ton of goals at Juve, it's not that the goal amounts for Juve have really gone up since he's been there. They kind of been redistributed to him, which I find pretty interesting. So I'm going to go over. I don't think he cracks 30 or anything like that, but look, and this is, I guess this would have been true for anyone that we've said so far. Overall, I would say the overall level of Serie A is slightly lower than last season. And I think what that means for the top players, that you can score more. So I'm going to go over. I'm with you there. I don't feel great about it, but I'm going to go, yeah, I think he gets to 27. All right, let's go to Dybala. Very interesting player. Obviously, look, last season missed a ton of, I think he only appeared in 20 matches and not all of them were starts. Was definitely not himself. Another player who's playing for his next contract, Juve is trying to resign him now. Look, Allegri has said all the right things about Dybala, but it's, you know, when Sarri arrived, his thing was like, I need to get Dybala going again, which should remind people that under Allegri, it wasn't that great for Dybala. So last season had 4. That was a fluke. He's healthy now. Dybala was the MVP under Sarri. I'm going to set the over-under for him at 11.5. How do you feel about Dybala? Do you think he gets to 12?
Hardest person to do this for. Like, hardest player that we consistently do over-unders for to actually do it for, in my opinion. Because potential-wise, he could go high teens or you know, low 20s, potential-wise. But he also could go 1, 2, or 3. So, my God, it's tough. But I do have optimism for the relationship of Allegri and Dybala here. I do. I don't know why. But 11.5, it's such a good number because, like, I could have optimism, but still, to have 12 or more, that's still definitely going the exact opposite direction of last season. But like you said, not too long ago, he was relevant again. So, so tough. Almost in the same way where I said, all right, if I go over on Giroud and Zlatan, it's going to be a good season for Milan. If I'm going over on Ronaldo's number and over on Dybala's number, it's got to be a good season for Juve. It just has to be. So, No.
Okay.
No, I'm going under. But I am not at all saying I don't expect Dybala to have a good season, but I'm honestly thinking maybe Dybala has a season like 10-7, which would still be a step in the right direction for Dybala. It would be. So, yeah, I'll go under. But I'm actually prepared to be proven wrong on that one, but I will go under. Yeah.
I totally get that train of thought. I think Juve is going to do everything they can to have Dybala really go because I think they kind of see him in the post-Ronaldo world and that this is almost certainly going to be Ronaldo's last season at Juve. I think they really kind of want to position. I get that there's also Chiesa, of course. So I'm with you. Look, saying 12 goals means 3 times more goals than last season. Granted, 20 games and he had COVID wasn't in great health. So we're saying that would be a lot better. So I'm kind of with you. I'm going to go under and I'm going to say it because I really want Kulusevski to have a good season. So I'm going to go with that. Juve, just a quick thought on them. They are the favorites to win the Scudetto by a pretty considerable margin. Once the Lukaku to Chelsea thing happened, the odds changed quite a bit and for good reason. Look, last season, Juve had a payroll 80 million above Inter. I've said this many times. I think there was only 7 teams in Serie A that had a payroll 80 million or higher, just to give you an idea of how steep that is. So they have the best manager in Serie A this season. I mean, you could argue maybe Gasperini, but Allegri and Juve, great success, won a lot. So if Juve doesn't win the Scudetto, there's a big problem there. Okay, so let's move on to Napoli and my man, Osimhen. I've said it many times. I really think at the end of next season, it wouldn't surprise me if we're talking about Osimhen as the player in Serie A was the highest transfer value. He, like Dybala, he had COVID, had some injuries. It was his first season in Serie A. We saw what happened with Lozano, absolutely breaking out in his second season. Spalletti, both Dzeko and Icardi had absolutely great seasons. under Spalletti. So I'm very bullish on him. I'm going to set the over under 16.5. And the only reason it's not higher is because Osimhen is scheduled to go to the Africa Cup like Kessié and Bennacer. And last season he had 10. And I would tell you, if there was no Africa Cup, this over under would be 3 goals higher. So I'm going to set the over under at 16.5. With the Africa Cup, and at least the good news, and this is for any player, any team who has players going, there's also an international break in Europe in the middle of it. So you don't miss quite as much. But we also do know that when players come back from the Africa Cup, it can be a little bit offsetting. So long and short of it, that's why it's 16.5. You think he gets to 17?
I do. I'm an Osimhen guy as well. If you check the tapes when he was even just transferred from Lille to Napoli, I said I liked that acquisition. I was a little biased because Chelsea at the time were even sniffing around Osimhen, and then he went to Napoli. So in us being rumored for him, I was trying to envision him in a good light at Chelsea, and that wasn't hard. Like, I really liked the player, but I had already felt a little bit of a connection. So I was really happy to see him finally last season get going, and I wasn't surprised by it. But yeah, in year two, you would think that any striker in their new league in that second season would take the step up. You're right, AFCON adds a little bit of a wrinkle, but I really like the player. We always say it's a striker's league to an extent. Also, I checked the tapes again a couple seasons ago. I said Lozano would be a good acquisition for Napoli. I didn't even fully waver from it after that first rough season. I mean, when I heard more credible people say that he could almost leave after his first season. I'm not sure if you remember that. Like, his first season was so bad, and there were rumors that he could even leave after the first season. I got a little bit worried, but then I was not at all surprised when he obviously picked it up. So I already like a combination of those guys linking up a bit more. Lozano, what, coming off the right wing or left wing? Yeah, I'm going to go over. Probably one of the easier ones for me. And you're right, if there was no AFCON, you would have to raise the number, or else I would just say 16.5 over with my eyes closed, but it's quite easy. Yeah, I'm going over.
Yeah, same here. I have to say, of all of these, this is, if I had to pick a lock out of all these, this would be it. And again, Africa Cup, definitely a factor, but I think between Spalletti's second season in Serie A, supporting cast, he's going to score a ton of goals. Huge fan of Osimhen. That was a great signing by Napoli. Okay, next up, your boy, Tammy Abraham. We've talked a lot about the acquisition. We haven't done the over-under yet. Zeko's gone at Roma. He's going to be the main man, has the number 9 jersey. They also have Shomurodov, but he's, you know, pretty versatile player. Zaniolo's back. Mkhitaryan's there. Roma is a team that really intrigues me in general. I really could see, you could tell me Roma finishes second or finished seventh. None of it would surprise me. So I'm going to set the over-under for Tammy as their main striker at 13.5. You think he gets to 14, Alex?
I do. I like him in Serie A, period. I do. And when I see how passionate Jose was about bringing him in, yeah. Absolutely. So I may have my own questions about Jose and what he's like these days and what his football's like. I certainly would have taken the over if Tammy was at Atalanta, but no, I do. I think Tammy's going to continue progressing as a player, and I think he definitely was better at Chelsea than some people will say. I mean, it's a young, promising striker with loads of good experience now, going to a manager who clearly wants him in. He's not afraid to wear the number 9. He already proved that at Chelsea, Tammy being. I'm going over. I think Tammy gets 15 to 18 goals this season. Yeah, and I'm really not saying that with bias.
Yeah, same here. As you said, with Osimhen, you can check the tape with me. With Tammy, out of all the young Chelsea players you've been telling me a lot about over the years, he's definitely been one that I gravitated, especially. I think Zaniolo being there helps a ton. As you said, Roma really rolled out the red carpet to convince him to come. I remember last Friday we were talking, and the way you were talking about Arsenal, I was like, oh, he's going to go there, and then look at it now. So, yeah, and I think the fact that he feels really wanted, the confidence, I think, is going to help. So, yeah, I agree. Over. I'm not going to say it's a lock as much as Osimhen, but definitely a good over. Okay, last one that we're going to do, Immobile. So this one's very interesting. And obviously, Immobile, I've always said it, you know, underrated player in the sense that if you look at his stats, you look at strikers in Serie A who have multiple seasons with over 20 goals, there's not that many. That's changed recently, but he's a great volume scorer. On paper, he goes from having a very defensive manager in Simone Inzaghi to the opposite with Sarri. They brought in your friend Pedro yesterday. They have Felipe Anderson. Luis Alberto's still there. Milinkovic-Savic is still there. Correa's probably on his way out. We'll talk about it in the transfer stuff. So there's a great supporting cast there, a very offensive-minded manager. So everything kind of looks good there. So he had 20 last season. I'm going to set the over-under at 22.5. You think he gets over that?
Yeah, honestly, I do. I do. Like, Ciro Immobile scoring in, let's say, the mid-20s always seems comfortable for me. Yeah, when you look at his last handful of seasons, for the most part, he's done that. But 20 last season, like you say, a few seasons ago, he had 15. So it's not a guarantee, but like he's also had 23, 29, 36, even way back when he had 22 for Torino as a much younger player. Like, I definitely think he gets over 20. But to get 23 or more, yeah, it's a little bit more. Like, you're having a really good season. But I like Ciro. I do. I think that he's such a good player within his situation. And I see no reason why he can't continue for a couple more years of being a 20-goal-a-season player. So I don't know. I don't know why I'm so confident that he gets the over here. But I think he's back in the mid-20s again this season, which would put me at over. It's a good number you set. It's definitely a good number. But I do say he gets 23, 24, 25 goals this season. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I asked you the question, I listed all the reasons why you should expect him to get over. And look, Ronaldo had a great season under Sarri. Strikers score a lot of goals under Sarri. My reservation on Immobile is this. We talked a lot about how Italy at the Euro was really pretty similar to Sarri's Napoli and inspiration. And Immobile really struggled in that system. Now, granted, I think Sarri is maybe more adaptable than people give him credit for. So I think he's going to figure it out. And Lazio, you know, especially Correa leaves, you know, they have Muriqi, they have Caicedo, and they have, you know, so I don't know. I think he gets there, but it also wouldn't surprise me. I think it's going to take a little while for him to get going, because usually Mobina gets off for like gangbuster start and you're like, here we go again. I don't think it's quite going to happen, but I do think they figure it out, and I do think he gets to 23. Okay, Alex, that was a ton of fun. As always, really, really enjoyed doing these over-unders. But while Serie A does start this weekend, and we'll get into more predictions with 1,000 names, there's also the transfer window still going on, Alex. So what hot transfer topics are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, this one's a pretty hot one, because like I would see this guy's name all the time being on Twitter. Like in my own Chelsea Twitter world, I still would see a bunch of Locatelli stuff. So David, what do you make of all the backlash on the formula Juve used to acquire Locatelli?
So, you know, this was a negotiation that we heard all summer long, literally took 2 months to get done, meeting after meeting after meeting. It ends up with Juve getting Locatelli on a free 2-year loan and then paying $35 million starting in 2 years. And then, you know, they're paying in an installment. You know what I always say? If you like someone, if you like a team, you're always going to find reason to defend them. If you don't like a team or a player, anything's going to become a mountain out of a molehill. Now, here, I do think there are reasonable concerns on this. We know Sassuolo has a great relationship with Juve. I would point out they've done deals not quite as advantageous as this one with other clubs as well. They've helped out Inter. They've worked They've had deals with them in that sense too. I think Napoli as well. But look, you know, not paying any money for 2 years for a player like Locatelli, and especially because he had a big market and a team like Arsenal would have paid cash money for him. Yeah, I totally get that. And I get the idea. It's like, yeah, okay, we get it. Locatelli only wanted Juve. Sassuolo has a great relationship with Juve, but you still have to pay fair market value. Now, I think the price, pretty fair. Sassuolo going to make a massive plusvalenza here, but the two-year loan is definitely a little bit, I don't know if shady is the right word, but again, I totally get why it would raise concerns. But again, what I always say is when clubs do a lot of business, and Juve and Sassuolo have done a ton of deals dating back to Berardi 7-8 years ago, you can't just look at it in a vacuum. You have to look kind of in the totality. I do expect more deals between Sassuolo and Juve. Maybe some Juve players go there in equally advantageous ways. But look, if you wanted to blitz Juve, if you wanted to, you know, have conspiracy theories, here they gave you some really good red meat. So I don't blame anyone who wants to kind of make a big deal out of this. But, you know, I would point out that Locatelli only wanted Juve. Usually when we talk about the player's will and Juve, it's bad news and needs like a really great player's about to leave. So here the flip side, it worked to their advantage. And again, them and Sassuolo do a lot of business. But again, I do get why some people are pretty outraged by this one.
Mm. Very, very interesting. All right, well, let's move to another hot topic for sure. So, David, will Vlahovic leave Fiorentina?
Doesn't look like it. Like, Comiso, and I have to say, I haven't been shy about criticizing him. Comiso is absolutely one of my big winners of the summer in Serie A, especially if he holds on to Vlahovic. There were huge offers from Atletico Madrid. I do expect Spurs, if Harry Kane is sold, to come back really, really strong for Vlahovic, because if I was Paratici, that would absolutely be what I do. So let's see if that changes. But right now, Comiso is holding strong. I've been pointing out for a long time the parallels to Chiesa. So Vlahovic has a contract till 2023. Comiso knew that Chiesa wanted to leave, and he knew that Chiesa wanted to stay in Italy, and he wanted to leave, and he waited till the last second until he realistically could sell and get a return for Chiesa. Ironically, another two-year deal, loan deal like Locatelli, but there was money up front and a forced option to buy, which is another reason why you could criticize the Locatelli thing. But he waited until the last second he could with Chiesa. It cost them some money because he probably could have gotten more when there was more left on the contract. So I got to give credit to Comiso. Fiorentina also, it looked like their defender Milenkovic, who has big value on the transfer market. It looked like he was going to the Premier League. They end up signing him to an extension. So I think Fiorentina has had a very strong summer. So I'm going to be optimistic with them. And I'm going to say also for Serie A's sake, it would be superb if Vlahovic stays. So as of now, it looks like he will. I'm just going to say we're going to hear a little bit more if Kane to Man City happens.
Oh, okay. Which we've been advised to not rule out at all until the window completely shuts. So yeah, that'll be some fun drama for everyone, even if you're not a Premier League fan. All right, David, what's the latest on Inter's attack?
Yeah, so we did the over-unders for Dzeko and Lautaro. There's going to be another significant player coming in. There's a couple of names, Insigne, but I don't know. I still think Insigne and Napoli work it out. Correa, interestingly, today, Sarri at the press conference said that Correa's not going to play in Lazio's first game because he really wants to leave. Lazio's been signing players. They didn't all summer. They weren't able to matriculate players because of the salary cap's not the right word, but of the ratio of revenues to salaries. Lotito, they work it out so now they can make the signing. It really kind of feels like Correa's almost out the door So maybe it's going to be Correa. The other one's Thuram, the son of the young Thuram, who used to play at Juve, who's at in the Bundesliga, and a player that I don't know much about, but a lot of Inter fans are pretty excited by the idea of potentially having Thuram. Young player with upside. That to me sounds really intriguing. Like, I'm a Correa guy. I would like it. Lazio's going to ask for a lot. It sounds like Thuram might even be a little bit cheaper. So I think Inter's going to bring in, and look, there's Duvan Zapata still wants to go there. Now, Zapata gives him a completely different look than Thuram and Correa. But I got to say right now, I think it comes down to Correa or Thuram, and I think it does give Inter a nice other option up front.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, he's a nice player, by the way. Like, I'm not a huge expert on him, but I've watched my fair share of Borussia Mönchengladbach games, and he does impress me. But you never know with players changing leagues. All right. So, David, which other teams do you expect to especially be busy for the rest of the window?
Yeah, so I think Lazio is going to continue to kind of look to sign some players. They definitely need a fullback. I'm very interested to see what happens with Belotti at Torino. There could be some dominoes there. Sampdoria has been selling a few players. Let's see if they bring anyone else in. But the answer is clearly Milan. They are going to be busy because Milan, it's not just that they're still looking to bring in a right winger, a potentially a trequartista. I think the Florenzi is on his way there. It looks like Bakayoko is also going to head back to Milan. Again, remember Cassie Benacer in the Africa Cup. So they would be left really with just Tonali as a defensive midfielder when that happens. So I think they're going to get Bakayoko on top of Florenzi, but then they definitely want to bring in another player up front. I have to say, I am beyond puzzled by Milan, by so many Milan fans, like, not being into the idea of adding Ilicic or Berardi. I'm like, geez, you know, when your alternative are Brian Diaz and Salemakers, with all due respect to those guys, like, especially Salemakers works really hard and does bring value. I'm like, come on, this is a whole other level. So I think they're going to bring in another kind of offensive weapon. They are linked to Bordeaux midfielder Adil as well. Young striker Pellegri, who was a Genoa, and Preziosi called him his Messi before selling him to Monaco for a big fee. He could come in to be the young striker. They had tried to sign Caio Jorge. They might bring in Pellegri, who was very injury prone, but very talented. So to have at least one young striker behind Giroud and Ibra. So I think Milan are going to be very busy. And then on top of that, there's still the extension of Frank Kessie that hasn't been done. And I said it, look, you know, Milan cannot, really, really cannot keep losing these starters for nothing. There's also Romagnoli, 1 year left on his deal. I know a lot of Milan fans are like, oh, you know, we should work out a swap of Romagnoli with like teams like Lazio and Napoli who might need him. I get that thought process. The problem with that is whoever gets Romagnoli in a swap deal is then going to have to pay his next contract of his prime years, and his agent is Mino Raiola. So whoever gets Romagnoli is going to have to give him a big contract too. I don't see that Lotito De Laurentiis being the guy who gives a big contract to Romagnoli for the prime of his career. So it's a challenging period for Milan. So let's see what happens. I think they're going to be the busiest team, both with new additions and extensions.
Okay. I'll look out for my Serie A team and what they do. All right, David, let's move on to this. What did you make of Donnarumma's quotes that he is still a Milan fan but had to leave because he has different ambitions than the club?
You know, Alex, I always say this. I always look where the player made the quote. Yep. So what country did he say it in? What press did he say it in? Had you told me, had I not read the quote and you told me, hey, Dave, Donnarumma said this, I would have bet the house he said that to the French press. Because I was like, yeah, okay, PSG are his new audience and he's got to, you know, fit into the team, blah, blah, blah. But he said this to Corriere dello Sport in Italy. And as many people have pointed out, Donnarumma very rarely gave interviews, very rarely spoke. He tried to keep a low profile. All of a sudden, gives this big interview to one of the three big sports papers in Italy and says that quote. He says, yeah, I'm a Milan fan, but, you know, I wanted to play with the best players in the world. And, you know, we just had different ambitions. Look, that may very well be true, but that's just a really crappy thing to say, especially in Italy. I think his communication team has to know that that's not going to be very well received, and maybe they want him to just be a heel in Italy, I guess. But that was a little bit odd, to say the least, because I would have bet the house he had said that to the French press. And, you know, what it comes down to at the end of the day is, I think, you know, realistically, you look at PSG, you know, he's going to play with Neymar, Messi, Mbappe. You know, maybe he will leave. But in any event, look, Donnarumma is a huge star. He's going to be the best keeper in the world for a long time. He's going to be in contention, in my opinion. He's going to be in the conversation to be the greatest keeper ever. You know, I can't fault him for going to PSG. But what I can fault him is going there with Milan not getting any transfer fee at all. That's just really, really crappy. They should have worked it out that Milan extended him and then sold him. That's really bad. On top of that, you know, his brother, Antonio, who was signed at Milan, was earning, was like one of the highest paid backup keepers in Serie A, maybe other than the ones that Juve, the highest paid backup keeper, and he was the third stringer, just to make happy, you know, the Donnarumma family. For him to leave with Milan getting no money, and then to say that, which, you know, although it may be true, you know, it kind of makes me think of the saying, if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. It really should have fell into that. And Antonio Donnarumma is now heading to my Padova, which, look, you know, I'm thrilled, but they're in Serie C. So think about that. His brother was making the highest paid backup as a third stringer in Serie A, and his level is Serie C. And look, I'm thrilled he's going to Padova. I'm sure for that level, he's a great addition, but not great by Donnarumma. I do feel for Milan fans, a rough week too with Locatelli in his quotes. So let's try to cheer you everyone up. Gonna have 1,000 names come on for his annual predictions. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I think you'll be entertained, but I always say, take what he says with a grain of salt. So we couldn't have our season preview podcast without our Oracle, one of the favorite characters that we've ever had on Calcioland, the outstanding 1,000 names, who really lives up to his name. You never know what he's going to say. I always tell people that the time I laughed the hardest on this podcast was one time that we did a prediction like this for the season. So what we're going to do, those of you that have been hearing the times that 1,000 comes on, we're going to have him answer in Italian. We're going to keep it a little bit more authentic. I'll translate. I'll try to do it justice. But what we're going to do is we're going to go over Scudetto, top four, Capocannoniere, relegation. And at the end, I'll also ask 1,000 who he thinks it will be the first manager sacked. So my dear friend, 1,000 names, bentornato al podcast. Davvero un piacere averti, amico.
Ciao ragazzi, un saluto a tutti e buon campionato.
All right, so io ti faccio le domande in inglese, tu rispondi in italiano e dopo traduco. So I'm going to ask him, I'm going to say the questions in English, that way you guys can follow, and then I'll translate the answer. So 1,000, iniziamo con lo scudetto. Let's start with the scudetto. Which team do you think is going to win the scudetto and why?
Io credo che l'Inter, che pure a fatica, riuscirà a confermarsi, quindi dico Inter campione d'Italia 2021-2022, perché okay, nonostante le gestioni Marotta ha fatto un grande lavoro e si è confermato il padrino del calcio italiano.
Okay, so 1,000 names living up to his reputation. He thinks Inter are going to confirm their title. He did say they had some painful losses, but he said that Marotta, as usual, did a great job replacing the team, and he showed once again why he is the godfather of Italian football. So, great answer. We have Inter winning the Scudetto. So, chi sarà la squadra che finisce seconda? Which team is going to finish second, Thousand?
Credo che la Juventus di Allegri possa fare un buon campionato, gioca gli 80 punti.
Okay, Thousand thinks Juve with Allegri is going to finish second, and he predicts they get to 80 points. Okay, I think a lot of people have these two, maybe not in this order. Okay, andiamo alla terza squadra. Who is going to finish third? Chi finirà terza in questo campionato?
Atalanta di Castellini, perché è una grande squadra e nonostante negli anni abbia perso un po' di giocatori di qualità, è riuscita sempre a trovare nuove soluzioni tattiche, quindi ho fiducia nella Dea.
Ok, third up he has Atalanta. He mentioned that they've lost some important players, but Gasperini has always adapted and they've been a great reality and done well. I have these three as well, not in this order, but I have these three as well. So, excellent. What will be the last team to get the Champions League spot? Quale sarà la squadra che ottiene il quarto posto e l'ultimo treno per la Champions, Thousand?
Onestamente, una domanda difficile. Io credo che sarà una lotta con pochi punti, nel senso che ci saranno molte squadre coinvolte e in queste situazioni di solito Mourinho si esalta, quindi dico Roma.
Okay, so Thousand says he's very unsure with the fourth place team. He thinks there's going to be a big fight, a lot of teams there within a few points. And he says in that scenario, Mourinho comes through, so he has Roma. So Thousand name, top four, Inter are going to keep their title. Juventus are going to finish second, Atalanta third, and Roma fourth. Fantastic. Let's go to the capocannoniere. I'm very curious to hear your thoughts here. Who's going to lead Serie A in goals? So, chi sarà il giocatore con più gol in Serie A questa stagione, Thousand?
Ah, diciamo che se rimanesse, e non è ancora certo che ciò avvenga, direi Cristiano Ronaldo. Però per uscire dalla comfort zone faccio il nome di Lautaro Martinez, che secondo me è chiamato ad una stagione da 20-25 gol.
Okay, so Thousand is saying there's some uncertainty with Ronaldo. You know, I'm going to read between the lines on staying, his mental condition and whatnot. But he's going with Lautaro Martinez, which I think is a very interesting shout. Lautaro last year had a lot of goals, but Thousand thinks this year he's going to get to 20, between 20 and 25. Good shout. I guess you are really big on Inter. Let's flip and let's look at the battle to avoid relegation. You've given us some great picks in your past. So guardiamo la zona retrocessione. Quali saranno le tre squadre che vanno in Serie B?
Mani in cuore, credo che la Salernitana farà un campionato a parte. Farà fatica a fare punti, quindi sicuramente retrocederà. Un'altra squadra che vedo male è il Venezia, perché do pochi nomi proprio di giocatori adatti alla massima categoria. E poi con dispiacere dico Spezia, perché ha cambiato allenatore e comunque la squalifica per 2 anni dal calciomercato in qualche modo, anche se non in questa sessione, comunque peserà. Quindi dico Spezia.
Okay, so Thousand for the relegation. He said Salernitana are basically going to be in a league of their own. A lot of people are picking them to break the record for the least amount of points in the season. Thousand seems to agree. Next up, he has Venezia. He says they just don't have that many players for Serie A. And then the third one, he's going with Spezia. Because they changed the manager, and he also points out they have a 2-year transfer ban and the team doesn't look great right now. These seem like pretty reasonable picks for me. Okay, Thousand, facciamo la domanda X. Sono molto curioso di vedere what you say. I'm very curious to see what you say. Chi sarà il primo allenatore esonerato? So who will be the first manager to be sacked?
Io credo che sarà una lotta serratissima tra Di Francesco, l'allenatore del Verona, e Thiago Motta. e che alla fine vincerà l'ex centrocampista dell'Inter, perché comunque si è dimostrato non all'altezza ancora, perlomeno, e comunque lo Spezia è una squadra di basso livello a differenza del Verona, quindi credo che sarà il primo a saltare.
Okay, so Fausen has, he says it's going to be a derby between these two, Di Francesco out of Verona. I think that's a good shout. And the other, Thiago Motta. And he says he has yet to prove himself as a manager. And obviously, he has a rough squad. So Fausen, I can't thank you enough. Everyone enjoys all your picks. We're going to read them during the week. We'll bring you back on occasionally on the podcast. Also want to talk TV with you at some point. Per cui grazie mille, amico, sempre un piacere parlare con te. Siamo onorati di averti sul podcast e grazie mille.
Grazie mille a voi, ragazzi. Ci sentiamo presto, dai.
All right. So now you're about to hear a portion of the chat that David did with Napoli Outsider, where they did a full-on Serie A season preview, doing a lot of over-unders. You're about to hear where it picks up talking about Lazio and then some mid and lower table teams. But if you're interested in hearing the whole episode in its entirety, I recommend becoming a patron. Napoli Outsider is heavily featured for patrons, and he really is tremendous. But all right, here is part of that Serie A season preview.
So let's transition to Lazio, but before we do, I'm going to ask you this, and I was looking, this is somewhat based on Roma's squad, but probably has more to do with the fact that Mourinho, you could really tell me anything, that it's going to be like Capello a Roma, or that he doesn't even make it to the Inter game in Milano, which is in April of next year. So I'm going to say, would you feel more confident on Roma if Sarri was the manager instead of Mourinho?
Yeah, I would. I would because of how they've played in the last few years. You know, it's easier to transition from to a similar style of play than to change it all around. And it's a bit of the reason for which Inzaghi was probably the best choice for Inter after Conte. And going from Fonseca to Mourinho, even though they're both Portuguese, there's a difference in philosophies. So regardless of the actual ability of the individual managers, it's just changing the style, getting into the players' heads. And this is one of the problems that Ancelotti had with Napoli, just getting into the players' heads and tell them, hey, we are not playing like we used to do with Sarri. And ultimately, it brought to a mutiny. Now, I'm not saying that the players will go into a mutiny for Mourinho. Absolutely not. But, yes, with Sarri, you know, with a more similar style of play, even though, obviously, Fonseca in the end was playing with a 3-9 defense, but the style of play, possession-oriented, offensive game, was more similar to Sarri than to Mourinho. So a period of adjustment might be in the cards, and when this stuff happens, you never know when it's going to click. You remember with Gasperini. Now we talk about him as it's, you know, the best tail in Serie A, and Atalanta worked like clockwork. But he was basically something like 90 minutes from being kicked out of Atalanta because his team had not clicked at all. You know, they had not understood how he should have played. And then once they did, everything worked smoothly. But sometimes those adjustment periods take too long, and teams are not necessarily, patient enough to make the teams click. So, yeah, I would be a little more confident with Sarri just because of the style, not necessarily because of the ability. But we'll see. You know, Mourinho is very experienced, and even though in England and abroad in general, he's looked like he was on the downside of his career, maybe in Italy. Italy is probably the one league where he might have a resurgence season. So, you know, I'm never putting anything past a guy like Mourinho. He could do it. So we're going to have to see if he does.
Interesting. Okay, so now let's talk about Lazio. And in my opinion, with Milan, they are the team that has the most work to do in the remaining part of the window. Look, they brought in Hizaz, Felipe Anderson. But look, you know, they had a big transition going from Inzaghi, different formation, different philosophy. And while I respect Lazio for getting a big name manager and expensive manager for their sake with Sarri, maybe not the best decision if you don't have the funds to build the team for him. So do you think this is a big issue for Lazio?
Well, I agree with you totally. The thing is, getting Sarri was the best thing. But if you told me, hey, we're not going to have money, because look, you mentioned some of the guys they brought in, but the truth is they haven't brought in anybody officially because they don't have the cash in their bank accounts to register those players. Unless Lotito pumps in at least 10 million euros by Friday morning, at least the first match day will have to be played without any new purchases, much like Barcelona, where we're under the same risk. Basically, they don't have the money even to register the free agents they got. So, yes, the thing is, Sarri was a great idea, but if you didn't have any money and you had to stick basically with the same squad as last year, then probably getting a guy like Juric would have been a better idea. That being said, if they do fix their financial issues and they manage to register those guys and get a couple more, I think it's going to work because even though Lazio used to play with a much, much different system, they do have the quality of the players that is required to play in the Sarri, and they can adjust their system, say, for maybe one or two positions. I mean, you think about it, their midfield with Leiva, Milinkovic, Savic, and Luis Alberto already works perfectly as a three-man midfield.
It does.
Luis Felipe and Acerbi are perfect as central defenders on the Sarri. The goalkeeper, Strakosch, is fine, and Reina was obviously a long-time Sarri keeper as well. So where do they have to fix their work? The wing-backs and the wingers up front, if they're going to play with a 4-3-3. If they're going to play with a 4-3-1-2, then they need to do something else. But still, there is some work to do, absolutely, and they haven't done it at all. So right now, I don't know what the idea is, but, you know, especially when you think that they might be close to selling Correa. Now, Correa would fix their issues in terms of the money, but he would open up a huge hole because even if they play with a 4-3-1-2, he's probably the second striker next to Immobile. If they play with a 4-3-3, he's the left winger. So if he leaves, you're not exactly selling a bench guy. You're not selling a guy who doesn't have a spot. You're selling a key starter. So what are you going to do with that? Now, I can see them, for example, starting with Uzai at right back, maybe Radu or Kamenovic at left back. That's not exactly ideal in terms of wing backs, but it could work. You turn Lazzari into an offensive right winger, you know, like Callejon used to be. Even though, you know, Callejon was also linked to Lazio, which is kind of sad, to be honest. But then you still need a left winger, and you have basically no bench. So, the left winger could be Felipe Anderson if he has a resurgence. But, I mean, the Felipe Anderson we saw last year wasn't exactly something that other teams should fear. Maybe, though, in Lazio, he comes back to life. Who knows? And that would be the team. I mean, it would be okay. It's not just something that makes Lazio fans dream of huge successes. Then again, Lazio probably will once again quit on Europe and put all their efforts in the league. And so in that case, you don't really need that many starters. You can do it with 12 or 13 players all year long. And I think that's their plan. So in that case, maybe things click and they get lucky and Sarri does a good job. And Immobile scores in a system that doesn't really work for him because Immobile is also a crucial man. Look, he scored a lot under coaches that employed a different style. For example, like Inzaghi or like Ventura. He scored a lot of goals for those. But when he had to play possession-style football, where he had to play sometimes with his back to the goal, like an offensive regista, like Dzeko would, he struggled. He struggled for his national team. He struggled when he played abroad. So we're going to have to see what happens over there. But I think, Lazio fans cannot be happy with what's happening. And right now, they have a lot of work to do just to get back into the Champions League race. Right now, you know, if we spoke of the Serie A like a Formula One grid, they would probably be the last of the teams that we've discussed so far. And that's disappointing because once they got Sarri and they had a pretty good baseline, I thought they would do better. And they didn't need to do much. But when you don't need to do much and you still do nothing, well, even that little thing that you needed to do becomes a huge mountain to climb.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the more I think about it, I'm with you. Of the teams we discussed so far, that I wouldn't surprise me if they're the last. Okay, so for the X factor, I'm tempted to pick really any of their wing backs. I could make a case for a lot of them, but I'm going to go Luis Felipe because I think Acerbi has shown he can be fine, in a classic four-man defense. I think he'll be a very good defender under Sarri. Another player who I think his contributions at the Euro were underrated. So I'm going to go Luis Felipe, player who actually was linked to Atalanta briefly. Looks like he's staying. So I'm going to go with him. I'm curious to see how him and Acerbi are in the defense. Who's your pick?
Now, I like that Luis Felipe pick, but I'm going to have to pick Immobile. Because, I mean, if he doesn't score the goals, who's going to score them for Lazio? They have a lot of creators. Milinkovic, Savic, Luis Alberto, Correa, these are all, and Lazzari himself, they're all good creators of goal-scoring chances. But last year, you know, Immobile always scores a lot. But even last year, when he wasn't scoring, it had to be Caicedo. And they didn't really have any other plan other than their strikers, their main strikers. And Immobile has always struggled under these kinds of systems. If he struggles under Sarri, then it's going to be a big issue getting the goals they need for Lazio. So, but then again, if he does get the goals, then that's great. Then I would probably move on Luis Alberto in that case, because he is the kind of player that can change the fortunes of a club, and especially can change the way they play. He can play as a mezzala, he can play as a trequartista, he can make runs with or without the ball. He's a fabulous player when he's on. But he also doesn't seem to want to remain in Italy, like a lot of players. A lot of players seem to be wanting to leave. Now, if there's one positive thing we can say about Lazio is that they didn't bring anybody, but they haven't sold anybody, at least not yet.
Yeah.
So in that sense, they're doing okay. But the problem is, you're changing the system, so it's not enough. You know, because we've said that about Napoli, but Napoli are going to stay with a similar system, 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, but it's still very similar. In the case of Lazio, they are changing, so not selling anybody is still not enough.
So yeah, again, well, look, you know,
it's disappointing.
Yeah, look, I think if you take the best players on every team, Lazio is a really good group. I mean, Milinkovic, Savic, Luis Alberto, Immobile, Acerbi, you just have Lucas Lieva in this mix. Maybe he's a little old for that. But man, top five players, it's hard for – I can't say that there's other teams in Serie A that are definitely better as far as their core block. But yeah, then once you get into depth, it's a problem at Napoli. So I think I know what your answer is going to be on Immobile over under. Last season had 20. He is a high volume scorer. Maybe I'm being too aggressive with 23.5, but look, he's had a lot of seasons with a lot of goals. Do you think that 23.5 though is way too high?
Well, if you still had Inzaghi as a coach, I think that's pretty much the line you would expect from him. With Sarri, Immobile is 30 now. He's 31, actually. So he has a history of failure with these systems. Now, I hope for him, personally, as a human being, as an individual, that he turns his fortunes around. But if history is any guide, he's not going to get to that number. So I'm picking the under.
Okay, great stuff. So that was our review of the top teams. Now we're going to transition, talk a little bit, some other issues. Before we get to the mid and lower table team, I want to ask you this. Which Serie A team do you expect to perform the best in European competitions this season?
I'm going to go, and this is going to surprise you, or maybe not, I'm going to go with Roma. Because Roma play in the Conference League. And they have an experienced manager who's had a history of relative success, I would say, in the European Cups. So they don't have strong opponents. They have the chance to add some silverware. They have a good group. They have a manager with European success. Why not? And that's why, for example, the second best team would probably be Napoli, because they play the Europa League instead of the Champions League. So that's basically it. Then again, if you're going to do weighted stuff, like, for example, if Roma get to the semifinal of the Conference League, is that better or worse than getting, for example, to the quarterfinal of Champions League? Well, in that case, it's a different thing. But if we're just going to look at how deep some team is going to run, I think Roma is probably going to run the deepest.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking this. I'm tempted to pick Atalanta, but I love that thought you gave me. I don't know if it was about a month ago you told me, what if Atalanta pulls a Sarri and a Conte and are like, you know what? We don't care about the Champions League. We want right. to win Serie A. But I, for some reason, I'm pretty optimistic about Juve in the Champions League. Like, look, they definitely shouldn't be considered in the mix to win it. But, you know, they have a deep squad, Allegri. I'm going to pick Juve here. Okay, so now let's get to the mid and lower table teams. So you can pick really any of the teams we haven't discussed so far. Which one do you think is going to surprise people in a positive way?
From the lower teams?
Yeah, so any team that we haven't talked about so far.
Okay, okay. So for me, this one is a slam dunk question, because if they keep Vlahovic, I'm going to pick Fiorentina. If they keep, but that's a huge qualifier, you realize.
That is a big one,
if they
set
Vlahovic and they substitute him with Scamacca, then I'm sorry. Oof. But if they do keep Vlahovic, you know, they're going to try something new this year. They're actually going to have a coach, which is, you know, it's a nice experiment.
That helps.
It's something that it's unprecedented for Camisas Fiorentina. You know, they have a good coach, and even though they haven't done much or anything, that the team is actually pretty suited for Italiano style. And if they keep Vlahovic and they keep Milankovic, I mean, we're talking about the squads, how they are today. So if the squad stays as it is today, then yes, I'm picking Fiorentina without a question. Out of the other teams, they have a big chance to make a difference and to have an impact.
Yeah, no, it's a great shout. I'm always pretty biased towards Genoa. I have to say, this morning I chuckled because I was looking at a Gazzetta. They have, you know, the Mercato Tabellone and all the squads, the starting 11. And I was like, everyone's complaining that no one makes moves, and Genoa almost has a whole new team, which is typical of them. But I got to say, I like a lot of the players that they brought in. And hey, they have Ballardini to start the season. So, but I love your Fiorentina shout, but I'm going to go Genoa. So flip side, which of the teams that we haven't talked about do you think could surprise people in a negative way and actually end up being in the race to avoid relegation, maybe more than we expected?
You know, I was looking at the Serie A teams, and aside from Fiorentina and Sassuolo, you could kind of expect any of the other teams to have a really big failure season and go down. You know, I mean, Torino almost did that. Genoa almost did that. Udinese, you know, they sold Musso and De Paul. They sold their best players. So you could kind of wait on anybody to do that. But I'm going to pick Verona, because Verona,
yeah,
in my opinion, didn't really have a great squad. They excelled. They did extremely well under Juric, but it was because they had Juric. Now they don't have him anymore. So I think it's going to be a way of seeing even how much they're worth, those players. And I think they substituted him with Di Francesco, who last year was dragging Cagliari, a much better team, down in Serie B.
Yeah.
If he was dragging Cagliari in Serie B, imagine what he could do with Verona, who were also used to a different style as opposed to the one he loves to teach. So I think Verona could be the one most at risk.
Yeah, no, that's a great shout. I would add some of the audience too. I think losing Ranieri is a big, big deal. It's not that I don't like Davies as a manager. I think he's fine. But to me, he's just, you know, average.
Yeah, and Ranieri was very underrated, I think.
I think
Ranieri
did a great job. So I think Verona is the answer, no doubt. I don't think Di Francesco is going to survive this season. They are in trouble, but my other one would be Sampdoria. Okay, so now let's talk about the newly promoted team, which I got to be honest, I'm not that familiar. I didn't follow Serie B because Padova wasn't in it. Of the three that came up, so Salernitana, Empoli, and Venezia, which one do you think is going to do the best?
You know, Empoli and Venezia have a plan, so it's going to be between them. Empoli and Venezia have a plan. I don't know if it's going to be enough to survive, but Venezia have a good ownership. It's very wealthy, and they have a very good coach. Empoli are probably starting with a better plan because it was better consolidated, but they did change their coach, even though they kept somebody who works pretty much the same way as the guy who left. So I think they're going to have a decent season. I would probably pick Empoli just by the thinnest of hairs ahead of Venezia because they're more consolidated throughout the years. So just because of that, I don't know if it's going to be enough to survive, but you know what? They both might have a chance to do it. Spezia might be at risk because they've lost their really good coach and they got Thiago Motta, so that might be one spot that could be at risk. And then, you know, you might have the other spot from Verona or Sampdoria or even Bologna. Hey, Bologna are teams that give up a lot of goals. Empoli and Venezia both play really good football. Just, you know, they're pretty much like Spezia from last year. And those teams are the ones that have survived in the last few years. Teams who have come up while playing really good football, keeping stability in the squad, having a plan in management. And those teams have managed to survive. Same thing you could say for Verona under Juric. Those are the teams that usually make it. So they have a chance, both Empoli and Venezia, in my opinion. Whereas Salernitana, all due respect, I have absolutely no idea how they got up. Even if you look at their goal difference, you know, that's usually a good indicator of the league quality. They had like the sixth or seventh best goal difference in Serie B. So, and looking at their squad, no offense to them, but just nothing that screams Serie A to me. So, Salernitana are probably going down.
You think they'll be just as bad as Crotone last year? Because it looks like it to me, but I'm really not that familiar with them. But that, they give me that vibe right now.
Right now, yes. I mean, then again, maybe Castori is a little more, how can we call him? I don't want to say smart because smart is an ugly word, but he is, he's more experienced to deal with certain situations as opposed to Stroppa, who was more of an idealist. Castori is more pragmatic. So maybe he doesn't do as poorly as Crotone did, but yeah, otherwise I pretty much expect bad results out of them, to be honest.
Okay, so let's close on this and really, what a tour de force. Great job as usual, buddy. Really informative and fun. So give us three players you are expecting big things from this season. You can take any level, any team, just three players that you like. Keep an eye on these guys.
Okay, so I'm not going to pick any Napoli player because that would be a homer. And that just wouldn't... I can't think clearly when we speak about Napoli. So just passing on them and looking at other teams, it's kind of tough because there haven't been many really good additions from abroad. So every player is kind of a known quantity. For example, we talk about a guy like Vlahovic. You know, there's no such guy this year coming up. But if we really want to throw out three names, one is Zaniolo. Again, we got to look after this guy because I hope he is the comeback player of the year. Now, he's been out for far too long. We've missed this guy, and he's one of the potential biggest difference makers in Serie A, one of the best players in Serie A, if he's healthy. So I don't know if he's going to have success, but he's one guy that needs to be followed very closely. And then I wanted to pick a guy from one of the Neopromosse, obviously, one of the three teams that came up, because that's where the new guys come from, basically. And so I'm going to go with the left wing back of Empoli, Parisi. I think he's going to be great. He was the best player in Serie B, in my opinion, last year. And he could just make a huge difference this year as well. You never know what's going to happen, obviously, if the guy can adjust to the new level. But he's got great talent, and I think he might even be the future for the national team over there. Like,
wow.
He's a guy that, in a different market, he would have changed jerseys for sure already this summer. And I thought he would have been perfect for Napoli. But, I mean, without any money, he's going to play one more year over there, and we're going to see what happens. And the final guy, I mean, I've already mentioned this guy as one of the X factors. I got to go with him because if there's any chance that Atalanta win the Scudetto, it's going to be because Pessina decided not just to be a good player, but a great leader as well. He's going to carry the team on his shoulders. I don't think Atalanta are going to win the Scudetto. I don't think they've done enough. I think they should have. I think they could have, but they didn't, at least not so far. But if they do enough, he's going to be the guy that drags them all the way to this historic Leicester-like title.
Awesome. Well, you know, I always say you're the greatest guest on any Calcio podcast. I really mean it. You lived up to it. We went super long today. So thank you so much for your efforts, my friend. You know, these chats are something I look forward to all month. And I feel very lucky and humbled to cover Serie A with you. And I'm very excited to do it this season once again. So thanks so much, Napoli Outsider. Really enjoyed it. Great job, as always.
Well, thanks for having me. And let's wait for the fire that's going to bring, you know, the last 2 weeks of the Mercato. And then let's see how the season starts, because I can't wait at this point. Thanks for having me, and talk to you next time.
Yeah, I can't wait for all your reflections on Locatelli to you, but that's going to be a lot of fun. So thanks so much, buddy. Happy Campionato to everyone. Thanks for following it with us.